بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon the noble prophet, his household, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. Continuing the explanation of the Nawawi's collection of hadiths, we reached hadith number 19. In this hadith, which is on the authority of Ibn Abbas, Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما. One day I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to me, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat, young man, I shall teach you some words of advice. Ihfadillaha yahfad, be mindful of Allah, and Allah will protect and preserve you. Ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak, be mindful of Allah, and you will find him in front of you. Idha sa'alta fas'alillah, if you ask, ask of Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, if you seek help, seek help of Allah. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. And know that if the nation, the whole nation, were to gather together to benefit you with anything, it would benefit you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And that if they gather together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something Allah had already prescribed for you. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ, the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. This is reported by At-Tirmidhi. Who said it is true, and hadithun hasanun sahih. It's hasan, it's good and authentic. And in another narration, other than that of At-Tirmidhi, it reads, احفظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ أَمَامَكَ, be mindful of Allah, you will find him before you. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة, get to know Allah in prosperity and he will know you in adversity. واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك, and know that what has passed you by was not going to befall you. وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك, and that what has befallen you was not going to pass you by. وعلم أن النصر مع الصبر, and know that victory comes with patience. وأن الفرج مع الكرب, and that relief with affliction. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, and ease with hardship. The explanation of this great hadith. Here, Ibn Abbas is saying that كُنْتُ خَلْفَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, one day I was behind, meaning either riding behind him on the same mount, or it's possible that he was walking just behind him. What's important is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave him this great admonition. He said, Ya ghulam, O young man, and he was a young man, he was young. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in fact died, and Ibn Abbas was about 16 years of age. He told him, إني أعلمك كلمات. I shall teach you some words. Here, he told him this, drawing his attention. إني أعلمك كلمات. I shall teach you some words. This is drawing the attention of the one being addressed. In this case, Ibn Abbas. He told him, احفظ الله يحفظك. Be mindful of Allah, and Allah will protect and preserve you. This is a great and magnificent word. What does it mean, be mindful of Allah? What does it mean to be mindful of Allah? It means be mindful of the limits set by Allah in His Sharia, executing His commands and abstaining from His what He had forbidden. Not only that, but to learn from the religion of Allah that which is needed to establish your worship and your dealings with people. And not only that, also to invite others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be mindful of Allah. He will protect you in your deen, in your family, in your wealth, in yourself. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards good for good. And the most important of these matters is that Allah preserve you and protect you in your deen, and protects you against deviation and misguidance. Because man, when he increases in guidance, Allah will even give him more of it. قال الله تعالى in Surah Muhammad in chapter 47, in chapter 47, قال الله تعالى 47 verse 17, والذين اهتدوا زادهم هدى وآتاهم تقواهم. While as for those who accept guidance, he increases their guidance and bestows on them their piety. So therefore, it is known therefore from these statements that the one who is not mindful of Allah then does not deserve to be protected by Allah. And therefore in this statement there is the incitement to be mindful of Allah, the most magnificent, the most mighty. The second word he told him, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Be mindful of Allah, and you will find him in front of you. And you will find him in front of you. احفظ الله, be mindful of Allah. We know now what it means from the first statement. And you will find him in front of you, guiding you to all good, drawing you nearer and nearer and closer to good, and guiding you to it, also protecting you from all evils. This is specially asserted if you are mindful of Allah by seeking His help. Because if the person seeks Allah for his help and puts a trust in Him, Allah will be sufficient for him and wouldn't need anyone else. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Anfal to his Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in chapter 8 verse 64, قال الله تعالى يا أيها النبي حسبك الله ومن اتبعك من المؤمنين. O Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah is sufficient for you and for the believers who follow you. Sufficient for you and for the believers. So no harm will be befalling you. That's why Allah said that's why the Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Abbas, be mindful of Allah, you will find him in front of you. The third statement, إذا سألت فاسأل الله. If you ask, ask of Allah. If you ask for anything, then don't ask except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't ask the created being for anything. And in case you ask him in that which he is able to offer, then you must know that he is only a cause from the causes. And the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who subdued him to you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise he would have prevented this to occur, and he wouldn't have given you anything from your request. So therefore, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The fourth statement, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek help, seek help of Allah. If you seek help, then seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He in whose hand is the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and He is the one who can assist you if He wills, and if you are sincere in your request for His help and in putting trust in Him, He will be for your aid. And if you seek the help from a created being in that which He is able to give, then also believe that He is only a cause, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who subdued Him to you. In these two statements, if you ask, ask of Allah. If you seek help of Allah. There is evidence that it is from the diminishing of Tawheed that the person asks other than Allah. That this takes away from the perfection of Tawheed. And that's why it is disliked to ask other than Allah in little matters, in little things, or for great things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He intends to help you and assist you, then He will make easy for you this through known or unknown causes. He may assist you through an unknown cause, unknown to you, thus repelling evil from you, evil the extent of which no one may bear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may also help you on the hands of one of the created beings, subduing him to you so that he can help you. Even with all of this, it is not permissible for you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you on the hands of a created being, it's not permissible for you to forget who was the one who permitted this and who allowed this, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth statement the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made was, and know that if the nation, the whole nation, were to gather together to benefit you with anything, it would benefit you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you, all the entire nation, from its beginning till its end, from the first ones to the last ones. If they would gather all together to benefit you with something, with anything. They would benefit you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. If you think about it, then you will come to the conclusion that in reality, the benefit from the created being is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one who prescribed it. And that's why this is considered as an incitement to us, that we depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that the entire ummah would not bring us no good except by the will and the permit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sixth statement, وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And that if they gather all together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something Allah had already prescribed for you. And therefore, if any harm is inflicted upon you from anyone, then know that already Allah had prescribed it. And therefore accept the pre-decree of Allah. And there is no harm if you try to repel this harm. Repulse it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ash-Shura 42:40, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The recompense for an evil is an evil like thereof. But whoever forgives and makes reconciliation, his reward is due from Allah. The seventh statement, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتُ الصُّحُفُ. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Meaning, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written is already written, preordained. The pens have been lifted. It wrote what Allah commanded it to write. And وَالصُّحُفُ جُفَّتْ, and the pages have dried. And there is no change of the word of Allah, of the decree of Allah. So far this had been related by At-Tirmidhi, who said this is good and sound hadith. And in another narration, other than At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Abbas, احفظِ الله تجده أمامك. Be mindful of Allah, you will find Him before you. This is the same meaning as the earlier, be mindful of Allah and Allah will, you will find Him in front of you. Here also he said, تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Get to know Allah in prosperity times and He will know you in adversity. Meaning, fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times of prosperity and ease, at times when you are healthy, at times when you are rich. Then Allah will know you in adversity. If the health is weakened and you got into a state of need after being rich, so Allah will know you because you knew of Him by being good at times of adversity, at times of prosperity. He will not neglect you subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said to him, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. I know that what has passed you by was not going to befall you, and that what has befallen you was not going to pass you by. So whatever has befallen you, you're not going to be able to repel it or repulse it. And whatever is not befalling you, you cannot acquire. And the meaning is also possible that whatever Allah had pre-decreed for you to befall you, then it's not going to miss you. It's not going to pass you by. It's inevitable that it will take place because Allah had pre-decreed it. And that whatever Allah pre-decreed to pass you by and not to fall you, to befall you, then He will lift it from you and it will never befall you. So the matter, all the matter is in the hands of Allah. This has a great benefit because this leads that the person will have, the person who believes in this truly will have or will put perfect trust and complete dependence upon Allah, complete reliance. Then he said to him, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ, and know that victory comes with patience. This is incitement for patience. Because if victory comes with patience, so the person will be patient so that he can achieve victory. And patience here comprises the patience concerning the obedience to Allah, and also covers patience regarding disobedience, because that requires patience, that the person does not indulge in sin. And not only on these things, also patience on the painful calamities that may befall the person. An enemy may inflict harm on a person from all directions. So the person may feel that he is not able to bear such an enemy, and thus he'll be grieved, and then he will abandon jihad due to lack of sabr, of patience. And he may indulge in jihad, but if he is touched by a harm, he will be grieved and will stop. He may continue and he may be inflicted with some harm from his enemy, then he should be patient. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Imran in 3:140, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If a wound and killing has touched you, be sure a similar wound and killing has touched the others. وقال الله تعالى in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 104, وَلَا تَهِنُوا فِي ابْتِغَاءِ الْقَوْمِ إِن تَكُونُوا تَأْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And don't be weak in the pursuit of the enemy. If you are suffering hardships, then surely they too are suffering hardships as you are suffering. But you have a hope from Allah for the reward in paradise, that for which they hope not. And Allah is ever all-knowing, all-wise. So if the person is patient and withholds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him victory. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ibn Abbas, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ, and know that relief with affliction. Relief from hardship and afflictions. The more the situation becomes harder, then the relief becomes closer to be attained. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naml, in Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, verse 62, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّءُ, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّءُ, is not he better than your gods who responds to the distressed one when he calls him, and who removes the evil and makes you inheritors of the earth generations after generations? Is there any ilah with Allah? Little is that you remember. So with every difficulty there is ease after it, or you can say there is ease after every difficulty. Rather, in fact, with each difficulty it is accompanied or followed by two easements, followed by two easements. Or accompanied before yusrun sabiq wa yusrun lahiq, ease before and ease after. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Sharh, we can correct this. In fact, with each difficulty, it is accompanied with yusr, with ease. As in Surah Al-Sharh, chapter 94, verses 5 to 6. قال الله تعالى فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا. So verily with the hardship there is relief. Verily with the hardship there is relief. So there is one hardship with two reliefs. And Ibn Abbas said لن يغلب عسر يسرين. One hardship cannot overcome two reliefs. The benefits of this hadith. Number one. The benefits of this hadith. The kindness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to those who may be lower than him in rank. Where he said to Ibn Abbas, Ya Ghulam, O young man, shall I teach you some words? This reflects his kindness, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second, it is befitting that when you need to address someone with an important matter, that you introduce before that something which draws the attention of the person being addressed. And this is evident in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here when he said, O young man, shall I teach you some words? Now he drew his attention. So the young man is ready now to receive. The third benefit. The person who is mindful of Allah, Allah will protect him and will preserve him. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in his admonition, to Ibn Abbas, to the young man then, be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Fourth benefit. The one who neglects Allah, meaning neglects his deen, Allah will neglect him and will not protect him. Allah says in Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59, verse 19, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And be not like those who forgot Allah and thus became disobedient to Him. And He caused them to forget their own selves, so they forgot to do righteous deeds. Now, those are the rebellious, disobedient to Allah. The fifth benefit, the one who the one whom Allah protects will guide him to all that which is good. And the one who continues to be mindful of Allah, Allah will protect him from evil. The sixth benefit. If someone needs help, then he or she should seek Allah for that. This does not mean that it is forbidden to seek help from other than Allah in matters which are possible for the one sought to offer or capable to do. Because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said that you help the man with his mount, you lift him on his mount, or you lift his luggage and you put it on his mount. This is a sadaqah, he said. This is a charitable deed. The seventh benefit. The entire ummah, the entire nation, is incapable to benefit anyone unless Allah had prescribed this. And similarly, they cannot inflict any harm on anyone except that Allah had preordained it. The eighth benefit. The person, therefore, his hope must be clinged with Allah. Having hope in Him, and don't give any attention to the created beings, because they are incapable of inflicting harm or bringing benefit to Him. So these beings possess no harm or benefit. Ninth, all matters are preordained. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah, the Most Mighty and Most Majestic, wrote the measures of all creation and their preordainments 50,000 years before creating the heavens and the earth. 50,000 years before creating the heavens and the earth. The tenth benefit. And this is taken from the other narration. If the person knows of Allah, at times of prosperity, Allah will know him in times of adversity and will help him and will remove the adversity. The 11th point. Whatever Allah had ordained upon a person, then it is not to pass him by. It's not going to miss him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not preordain anything on a person, then nothing will befall him. The 12th benefit. The great glad tidings to the patient ones, to the patient, the persevering ones. And that victory comes with patience. It's associated with it. 13th. The great glad tidings also, that the relief of difficulties and hardships is linked to hardship itself. Meaning, the more the hardship intensifies, then the closer the relief. 14th, the glad tidings that if the person is touched by a difficulty or afflicted by a difficulty, then let him wait the relief. For surely it's coming. And Allah mentioned this in the Quran as we went over this in Surah Al-Sharh, verse 5 to 6. So, if matters go tough and hard on you, then resort to Allah Azza wa Jal, waiting for the relief, believing and trusting His promise. 15th. There is in this hadith, there is comfort to the slave at times of hardships and at times of calamities. And if something beloved is missed, this is taken from the statement, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. And know that what has befallen you was not going to pass you by. وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. And know that what has passed you by was not going to befall you. The first is comfort when hardship or afflictions befall you. And the second is also comfort if you miss something that you love, in case it doesn't happen. And all success is from Allah. This brings the end of the benefits of this great hadith. I ask Allah the Most High to make it a benefit for me and for all of you. And may Allah's mercy be upon Al-Imam al-Nawawi for his collection. And may Allah's mercy be upon our Shaykh for his discussion. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.